So we have today the parable of the vineyard owner with two sons, right? And on the periphery, Jesus' rhetorical question to the elders and the chief priests was very simple. Which son was the better son? And the choice they have is the son who said no, then finally did the father's will, and then the son who said yes but did not do the father's will. And the answer the chief priests and elders gave is also very simple. Yeah, it's the first son that is the better son. But then parables are never about the obvious. The reason I say that is because if I had a son, if I had a child, I don't want them to be like either of these two sons. I don't want them to be the children who say yes and then don't do their tasks, or say no and then give me a surprise. I want the kind of child who both would say yes and then carry out their task. Would you not want your children to be that way, right? Yeah. And so it's not about the two sons in today's parable. It's about a third son. That son is Jesus Christ. The parable is about the acceptance of Jesus, who both said yes to the Father and then went ahead and accomplished the task of our redemption. But the chief priests and the elders just could not look deep enough for them to grasp what was happening right in their midst. Folks, there is another surprise in today's readings. Within 2 weeks, we have the same second reading. Remember, on September 14th, the Feast of the Exaltation of the Cross, we read as our second reading this passage from Philippians, where Paul says that Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness, and found human in appearance, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. But the difference between this reading the 2 weeks back and this time is that the section prior to the reading that we have about Jesus is included today. And this is what Paul says. Paul says, have the same attitude as that of Christ. Have the same attitude as that of Christ, who, though he was in the form of God, humbled himself. And what's that attitude? Listen to this very carefully. Great piece of advice for us in our families, in our church, in society, wherever we go. Here's Paul says, do nothing out of selfishness or out of vainglory. Rather, humbly regard others as more important than you, each looking out not for his own interests, but also for those of others. In other words, this is what it means to be like the third son. A person who thinks this way is not like the first son or the second son. It's like the son who humbled himself on the cross. So I'm proposing three ways today then for us to be like Jesus. Three ways to have the same attitude as that of Christ. Three ways in which to be like the third son. So here's the first way. Do nothing out of selfishness. Now remember, Paul says about Jesus that he became a slave. And for me, this is a very interesting contrast that Paul is making. The comparison that Paul is making is not between a human being and a slave. So he doesn't say that a human person became a slave, but rather that God became a slave. The contrast is huge. Jesus, who is divine, was not content to become a human person, but he became the least of human persons. That's the contrast. A slave is deprived of any dignity, any identity, any worth. A slave is a nobody. So Paul is saying that God in Jesus became a nobody. Folks, this stark contrast is very, very meaningful for us. See, we live in a world of what I call exaggerated self-importance. Right? And the best thing is, none of us are exempt. Today, as you hear this homily or you hear this reading, there might be 10 people coming in your mind. You are probably saying, I wish my mother-in-law was here. I wish my neighbor was. I wish my colleague was here. I wish my child, my parents. You bet, whenever we hear readings, we always think about those people for whom this reading is perfect. Right? But really speaking, Paul is speaking to us. So today I'm asking you to think about only yourself. Don't think about that other person. Think only about yourself. To some extent, we are all selfish. And most of our conflicts in our families, our church, and society are caused by our exaggerated sense of self-importance. Nobody's bigger than me. I remember just a few weeks back, I'd just gotten back home from meetings after meetings, a long day, tiring day. It was 9:30 at night, hadn't had dinner yet. I just took a wash, changed my clothes, and just served myself dinner. And I got a call from hospice. Somebody's dying. The family is requesting that I go and anoint them, and what bugged me is that this is not from our parishes. The chaplain tells me that the parish to which this person belongs, they won't pick up their phone. I was angry. Very grudgingly, put my clothes back on, went to hospice. Once I got there, and I met the family, and I prayed with them, and I saw the comfort that my presence brought and what it did to the family, I just felt terrible. I know that I had acted selfishly. Yes, I was tired. It's all right. But see, God becomes a slave. You've got to become a nobody if you have to have the same attitude as that of Christ. So I don't get up in the morning every day thinking, I've got to work against selfishness today. I don't. Probably most of us don't do that. And yet, selfishness ruins relationships. Selfishness ends up breaking marriages. Selfishness ends up hurting and killing people. Wars begin and nations waste unimaginable resources arming themselves because of selfishness. In our mind, selfishness is a small thing, but boy, the harm that selfishness causes is immense. Selfishness is destructive. And so Paul says to his community, do nothing out of selfishness. And one way to become like the third son is to do nothing out of selfishness, because that is not selfishness. Okay. Second way to become like the third son. Paul says, humbly regard others as more important than yourself. Humbly, in humility, regard others as more important than yourself. And what is humility? The typical dictionary defines humility as not thinking of yourself as better than other people. So the typical definition is very different than what St. Paul is saying. The dictionary says, do not regard yourself as better than someone else. Paul is saying something completely different. He's not asking us to lower ourselves or our dignity, but he's saying this: humility is giving other people what is due to them. Two different things. To regard somebody else with humility means not that I make myself lower than someone else. I'm saying I'm giving you what is due to you, your dignity. So humility for Paul is considering others more important than ourselves without compromising our own worth and God-given dignity. That is what Paul is saying. This is exactly what Jesus did. Jesus humbled himself without giving up his dignity as the Son of God. He even treated tax collectors and prostitutes with dignity. And because of this, his gospel says that they were beginning to hear God's word and enter into the kingdom before those people who were standing back and condemning others. Folks, I think Paul's understanding of humility is very significant, very significant. What is very disturbing to me these days is the racial tension in our country. Whether you think about Ferguson, Missouri, or think of Beaver Creek, Ohio, our own place, or whether it is Columbia in South Carolina, I think the way people are carrying on conversations on social media is indicative of what is wrong with us. Have you seen Facebook posts and Twitter posts from people? It is inhuman. Human beings don't treat each other in this way. If only people would act on the Pauline concept of humility, we would have a very different conversation, no matter what race we belong to. If only we can talk with each other with the humility that Paul is asking us to, our country would be different. If every person in our country considered others more important than themselves, if we gave each other the dignity that is due to us, we would have a very different home, we would have a very different church, we would have a very different society, a different country. Just imagine if we gave each other the dignity that is due to the other. And that is another way in which we are being invited to be like the third son. Thirdly, Paul says, look out for the interest of others along with your own. So first is, Paul says, do nothing out of selfishness. Second, humbly regard others more important than yourselves. Thirdly, look out for the interest of others along with your own. Folks, on the one hand, selfishness is a very personal problem, right? Individual people are selfish. But the problem in our society is not that some people are selfish, But we are all selfish together. Selfishness is no more just a personal problem. It's a systemic problem. It's a social problem. And we are born into it, we are brought up in it, and we live within a culture of selfishness. It's almost as if selfishness, which is a negative trait, is necessary for survival. So when people my age talk about younger folks, and we all do that, right? We always think about how self-absorbed our youngsters are, right? Just can't look up. We're always into something. But you know what? It's only partly their fault. That's the kind of world we are leaving them. That's the kind of world we are leaving to our young people. In many ways, the world that our young people are born to is what we created. And that's why I mean when I say that selfishness is not just the problem of a few. We are all in some way born into a selfish world. So in today's gospel reading, Jesus blames the chief priests and the elders. You know why? Because they're changing the social fabric of society. John came eating and drinking, or John came and preached the gospel, and they wouldn't listen to John. And then came Jesus, and they have the same arguments against Jesus. They just could not look beyond their selfishness. And what do they do as a result? They make a religion that is very selfish. They make a synagogue that is very selfish. They make a society that is very selfish. And Jesus was angry with them for that reason, that they are changing the fabric of society. On the other hand, Jesus begins to open society to the mercy and the love of God, and guess what? Except the selfish people, they were all walking into the kingdom. The tax collectors, the sinners, the prostitutes, Jesus says, they are walking into the kingdom before you. And so we are being invited today in many ways to. So if you look at St. Helen Parish community, what if we all said, today when I come to church, I'm going to do the most selfless thing? What would that mean? What would it mean if I said, hey, I'm going to meet somebody new today and say hello to them? Well, I can come to Mass and not meet anybody and go home. But what if we said that we're all together, not looking at our own interests, but the interest of someone else? Say someone looks rather sad today. What if I went up to him and said, hey, can I say a prayer for you today? What would that do to us? At home, what would it mean if we not only looked at our interest, but did that to someone else as well? What would society look like? What would a nation look like? And Paul is inviting us to all together become the kind of people that is like Jesus, looking not only at our own interest, but at the interest of others. So, which son or daughter would you like to be like? First, second, or third? And if you say third, then here is how Paul is saying we can have the same mind as that of Christ. So here is Jesus giving us bread and wine, right? The bread and wine that becomes the body and blood of Christ. Jesus is giving that to us. Why? Because he's selfless. As we participate in this bread and wine, in this Eucharist, may we put on the mind of Christ. May we have the same attitude as that of Christ. People of God said,